Welcome back. Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. And good to have our friend Brian Comer with Tobias and Comer Law in studio with us as we wrap up the show this morning for another edition of Law 251. Brian, how's it going, man?
All right, going great, Dalton. How are you?
I am doing great. It's getting warm out there. I don't know if you've noticed.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting hot. Yeah. And we've got all that great end of spring, summer stuff around the corner. So looking forward to that and looking forward to talking with you this morning. Brian, one of the things we've talked about several times over the years, we talk about a lot of safety issues, and we've talked a lot about car seats, even how to install them and what makes a safe car seat and shopping, whether you want to make sure you don't want to get one that's been in an accident, all these things we've been over. But something I find fascinating is how they ensure the products are safe enough to be sold in stores and used in vehicles. And I understand there's been some changes to the rules on what constitutes a safe car seat for a child.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is something near and dear to any parent's heart. And I know our kids are about the same age. And, you know, I remember it being such a daunting task when you put that first car seat in of, oh, my goodness, am I getting the right one? But there are very rigorous safety standards as well. There should be when it comes to car seats. And there's various testing protocols that are followed. And the regulatory agencies, such as the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, that's a mouthful, NHTSA, but they promulgate these rules. And there has been a rule change that doesn't go into effect. It was originally supposed to start this summer, but it got pushed back to next year. And it's to make sure that car seats can withstand T-bone impacts. That is the 90-degree, you know, somebody blows through a stop sign and hits you on the side of the car. That side impact versus a head-on impact, which is what they're typically tested to. And, I mean, it's every parent's worst nightmare, right? But just as cars have evolved, and we have side curtain airbags, we have airbags at our legs and knees. Similarly, car seats thankfully have evolved to make sure our kids stay safe.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of a little surprised that wasn't already part of the deal,
right?
But I'm sure there's, any time a big rule change like that goes in, there's negotiations on all sides. You know, how's this going to affect our revenue stream? The companies that make them are thinking that. And so I find it all really, really interesting how they come to that. But you're right. Like, I don't even know if I were in an accident. Unfortunately, I haven't had airbags go off on me. I wouldn't know where they'd be coming from these days. I guess every direction. They've changed the safety tech up in such a great manner over the years that it only makes sense car seats have advanced just as much, and making sure that those are safe from the big vehicles that are out there on the road from whichever angle they hit you from. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's some pretty high profile cases out there, not talking about car seats, but like the Tiger Woods incident, for instance. An airbag basically saved his leg, because if he didn't have this particular car with this airbag system that it did, some people have said that, you know, he could have even lost his leg. And so to be able to make those kind of leaps in technology to protect our children, it does make sense. And I mean, I was looking actually at my four-year-old's car seat. We still have him in a five-point harness, and the apparatus by his head is there to keep, to make sure that in a T-bone collision, he's going to be okay. And that's what the regulation requires of manufacturers now. So once I believe it's December of 26, when that new regulation rolls out, the car seats have to comply with that standard to be sold at all. And then it's a question of, okay, well, my existing car seat, is it safe enough? And you can check all of that. You can go to our website, Tobias Comer Law, for more information on that. But, you know, do the car seats meet the safety standards?
And one thing we've discussed before that helps when there are rule changes that come in like this, or if a product you've already purchased has been recalled, is to go ahead and register these products. And so often when me and you are discussing things, it's like, well, stuff for the children especially, you want to make sure that's registered, because you want to know if that – I kind of think of things like, if this happens, you know, I only paid so much for this, it'll be fine. But for the stuff for the kids, you're like, I need to get this stuff. I need to make sure I register my product so I know if anything bad is happening with this thing I just purchased.
Yeah, absolutely. And that it really transcends products, but for a car seat in particular, or anything that does deal with a child, cribs, anything like that, you're going to want to make sure that you're registered, because, you know, if the testing or the data shows that there have been impacts or there have been problems, you want to make sure that you get the notification of that so you can keep it safe. And, you know, real world examples, we've talked about one of the products liability cases that we've had and currently have about a defective e-bike that Trek made. And as a result of our lawsuit, Trek has issued a recall through another government agency, the Consumer Product Safety Commission. We've talked about this before, the CPSC, but the registration of the product, car seat, a bike, whatever, lets you, the consumer, know, okay, we've identified the problem, and now there's a fix for it that we can implement.
And that's a pretty big deal. When a product, when they're saying this just isn't safe for shelves now, right now, until some real fixes are made. So with like that, the e-bike situation, that's incredibly dangerous.
It is.
And someone might not even realize the product they're currently, you know, steaming down the street, absolutely moving along, that it could have some serious issues.
Yeah, you're right. And those bikes in particular have the defect is in the fender. The bolts attaching the fender didn't have the proper locking mechanism on it. The bikes go in excess of 20 miles an hour. And if you have a failure at 20 miles an hour on a bicycle, that can have catastrophic results.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like 20 is that fast until you're out there in the open air moving 20 miles an hour and hitting the ground is not cool. So the CPSC you mentioned there, and we talked about this some before, Consumer Product Safety Commission, what's kind of their role compared to some of the agencies, like you mentioned with NHTSA, with the National Highway Transportation? Do you see NHTSA start to look into something and make a rule? And then are they even associated? Is the CPSC saying that, do they have any role in like this new car seat rule where they're going to start testing from the side, or is that kind of separate?
That's a really good question. So think of NHTSA on the front end of the regulation, right? So they are developing rules that need to be followed, and it can be hand in hand with the CPSC, but the CPSC is more of a reactionary, the product exists. There's been so many failures, because when a failure happens, it has to get reported to the CPSC once the manufacturer finds out about it. And then there's internal metrics that they use. Okay, there's X total products made, Y number are defective, therefore we need to institute a recall. And then there's a whole process that goes into it. But the CPSC really takes a product that's already on the shelves, that's out in the market, and says, okay, are they safe? Are they dangerous? Versus NHTSA or other federal motor carrier safety regulations apply forward looking to things like the car seats.
I got you now. Okay. So they're almost like a review board. They get so many responses from different people using different products. They get enough of those. They say, hey, we really need to look into this.
They really make good strides and do good work. When you think of things that were dangerous from when we were younger that aren't now, it's because of groups like the CPSC and other advocacy groups. But like one thing that hit me as when I became a new parent was, you know, bookcases are incredibly dangerous. And so that was one of the things that the CPSC has changed, is to have the attaching mechanisms on the wall to make sure that a bookcase or another big piece of furniture that your toddler can't pull it down on himself or herself. And so, you know, things like that make products safer, and it makes us safer as a society.
Listen, I like that rule, making sure that the dresser or whatever tall item you have is secure to the wall. I just wish there was a tool or something that made it a little easier. You know, you get some of those straps that are like maybe 4 inches.
Right.
And you got to find a way to get enough leverage to get a nail or something into the wall. But I love it. It's all over my house to keep it from falling on the kids, but really it's to keep it from falling on me.
Yeah,
of course.
True. Same.
So that's some really, really good information. And the car seat rule change, I'm sure that is going to have some implications for a lot of folks that listen to us, a lot of folks that have children or maybe grandchildren on the way. The e-bike, one more time, mention what company, if someone has an e-bike in their garage, they want to go out and look at it and say, hey, I just want to make sure mine's good and not the one Brian's talking about. What's the C-Bike?
Yeah, so it's manufactured by Trek, but it's branded as Electra, e-bike, and it applies to the Ace of Spades Go and the Navigator Go product line, which is just their models. But they're e-bikes, and it deals with the rear fender of the bike, those bolts coming loose and falling into the to the wheel.
All right. If you're worried about it, go check it out. Go see which one you have in your garage. Brian, we appreciate it as always. Some really good information. TobiasComerLaw.com. I know one thing a lot of folks like to use is that number you have, the phone number on the website for a free consultation, 251-432-5001. Appreciate it as always. Thanks for coming in for another Law 251.
Thanks for having me, Dalton. Always appreciate it.
All right, that's Brian Comer with Tobias and Comer Law and Law 251. And coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show. He is on the way right here on FM Talk 106.5.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal service.